The first one is found in the Old Testament in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, and verses 1 through 4. And then the second one is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 32. Follow along in your Bibles, if you will. If you're able to do so, if not, just listen carefully as we read to you from the Word of God. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now our second passage of Scripture is found in Luke chapter 11, and we find in verse 29 through 32 these words. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation, they seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Today we're going to look at the gospel according to Jonah, and we're going to see, as we left off last time, that the gospel according to Jonah is the gospel that we need to know about at this present hour. We find that Jonah's gospel was the only sign given to that generation, and it's the only sign given to this generation, which rules out all these so-called signs and evidences and prophetic things that are supposedly happening in our religious world. Beloved, the only sign that God has given to this world today is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're resting in a sign instead of in Christ, rest assured of one thing. You're resting in the wrong thing, and it is Satan's purpose to delude you and deceive you if he possibly can. And we find that he's very successful. So many today are looking for signs in this and signs in that, and yet our Lord tells us that there will be no sign given to this evil generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Therefore, we ought to look at the gospel according to Jonah, and we'll see that this gospel is a gospel that is applicable for today. It's the same gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. It's the same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, and it's the only gospel by which you can be saved. Now, you listen carefully, if you will, and follow along in your Bibles, because we find that the gospel according to Jonah was a gospel of doctrine. People today don't like that term, doctrine. Most people today don't even know what it is. And the word doctrine means teaching. And we find that before God does save a sinner, he teaches that sinner certain realities as he writes them upon that individual heart. Now, if you're against doctrine, you're against the Word of God. And then you're also against the Lord God of heaven. And rest assured of one thing. Those who are against doctrine and against God are also unsaved, and they're on the side of Satan. Now, I know these are strong words, but they have to be strong today because we have an uneducated, ignorant group of people professing themselves to be wise, but instead they become fools because they don't understand what the Word of God is all about. And, beloved, you need to know what God's Word teaches. Now, Jonah's gospel was a gospel of doctrine. There were 5 doctrines that are set forth in the gospel according to Jonah. First of all, we find there was a doctrine of God's wrath against sin. Secondly, there was a doctrine of God's sovereign love and grace. Thirdly, there was a doctrine of Holy Spirit conviction and repentance. Fourthly, there was a doctrine of salvation in a supernatural person. And last of all, fifth and last of all, there was the doctrine of God's eternal stamp of approval upon Jonah's gospel. Therefore, we need to look at these things, and we find very clearly that when Jonah walked into the city of Nineveh, he had but one message, and it was the message of God's wrath against sin. Listen to what it says. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Here was the doctrine of God's wrath against sin. Jonah was sent to Nineveh because of its wickedness. Jonah was sent to Nineveh to warn that city that the judgment of God was about to fall upon it, and it would come within 40 days unless repentance was forthcoming on the part of that in wicked city. We find the same thing is true at this hour. The Lord God of heaven is angry with this generation. We have a generation that are clean in their own eyes, and yet they have not been washed from their iniquity. We find that this is a generation which decries the wrath of God. If you get in the pulpit and preach of the wrath of God against sinners, rest assured of one thing, you're not very popular, and very few people will come to hear you. Yet the Word of God is absolutely plain, and it tells us very clearly in the New Testament as well as in the Old that God is a God of anger and God of wrath, and that God's anger and wrath is against every sinner that's without the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 1:16 through 18 we read, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Then in Acts chapter 17, and we find in verse 30 and 31, God warns this world again, the same way that He sent Jonah to warn the city of Nineveh. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Now let me ask you a question at this hour. What kind of a God are you serving? Is it the Lord God of the Bible, or a God of your own imagination? People today that don't believe that God is angry with sin just don't understand what the Word of God teaches. And we find their God is a God which is a figment of their own imagination, and their God is a God that will not save. And one of these days when the Lord God of heaven judges this earth, they'll wonder why it came upon them, but they'll be made to find out and recognize that their God is a God of their own making and not the God of the Bible. Beloved, you need to repent if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ. God's anger and judgment is arrayed against this world and against you individually like a mighty cannon. You cannot escape it. You're not going to be condemned. You already are condemned. And he that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned, the Scripture says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we find that our Lord also tells us that he that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life. He that does not believe Christ shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. No sinner will ever get to heaven without tasting the wrath of God first. Before you understand the love, grace, mercy, and salvation of the Lord, rest assured of one thing, you're going to know what it means to stand under the judgment and wrath of Almighty God. Jonah's gospel was a gospel of doctrine. In his gospel, he preached the doctrine of God's wrath against sin. The second thing about Jonah's gospel was this. It set forth also the doctrine of God's sovereign love and grace. Again, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, we read, So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger, that we perish not. Here we see the doctrine of God's love and sovereign love and grace. The love of God was set forth in the awakening of the city of Nineveh to their need. Friend, today, you listening to me at this hour, have you ever stood before the Lord God of heaven as a needy beggar of a sinner, wondering if the Lord would save you, knowing that you don't deserve salvation, and yet you can't help but cry for God to have mercy upon you? My friend, if you've never been there, rest assured of one thing. You don't know what it means to be awakened to your need. Without Christ, you are a needy sinner, and an individual has to be awakened to his or her need before that individual will ever come to Christ. Now, this isn't done in 5 minutes by a personal worker. This is done by the Holy Spirit of God, opening the sinner's heart, showing that sinner who he is, what he is, the judgment he's under, and then the Lord God of heaven revealing to that sinner that God is angry with him, revealing also to that sinner that God is a God of justice, and that God could save him or damn him right at that moment. And that sinner begins to tremble and cry and fear the Lord and sue for mercy the same way that the people of Nineveh did. This was the doctrine of Jonah's gospel. It was a doctrine of God's sovereign love and grace. His love is set forth in the way that God awakened them. Then his grace was set forth in the way that God redeemed them. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10 we read, "And God saw their works, that they repented from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. And our Lord spared the city of Nineveh." Has the Lord ever spared you? Has he ever reached down and saved you, my friend? If he has, it's been by grace and grace alone, because salvation is all of grace, and it's all of God, and we find that nothing can be added to it. People today believe they got to be baptized to be saved, they got to speak in tongues to be saved, they got to do this to be saved, they got to do that, and we find that all it is, nothing, all it is but a conglomeration of works in which the mankind is exalted, and the old flesh is filled with pride, because man thinks that he has something to do with his salvation. And the average individual today who sails under the banner of Christianity doesn't know what the grace of God is all about. Let me ask you a question. Do you? You will if God ever awakens you. If he's awakened you to the fact that you're a despicable, good-for-nothing, lost, hell-bound sinner, and that you're helpless before him, it's the grace of God that has come to you personally. And we find that Jonah's gospel was a gospel of doctrine, the doctrine of God's wrath against sin. And then also it set forth the doctrine of God's sovereign love and grace. The third doctrine that Jonah's gospel had was this, was the doctrine of Holy Spirit conviction and repentance. Notice, if you will, in verse 3 or verse 5 through 7 of Jonah chapter 3, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto the Lord. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands." Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away his fierce anger, that we perish not? Here was the doctrine of Holy Spirit conviction. People today don't know what it is. But my friend, I want to say this to you very kindly and absolutely. Without Holy Spirit conviction, you miss repentance. Without repentance, you miss Christ. When you miss Christ, you miss everything. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tells the sinner today that except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. A sinner will never repent until the Holy Spirit comes upon that sinner, deals with that individual in conviction, shows that individual
his awful category in which he is before the Lord God of heaven, reveals to that individual his hopelessness and helplessness, and puts a cry for mercy in that soul, then that is done by Holy Spirit conviction. No individual can produce that. It comes only by the Lord God of heaven. And when that takes place, we find that the people believed God and cried, and then the people turned from their idols to serve the living and the true God. And the same thing is true in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. Have you ever been under Holy Spirit conviction? If you don't know what I'm talking about, rest assured of one thing, my friend, you never have been. Have you ever stood before God as a lost sinner, lost and helpless and undone? If this is a foreign language to you, you've missed Holy Spirit conviction, you've missed repentance, you're missing Christ, you're missing heaven, and you're still on your road to a devil's hell, no matter how religious you may be. Jonah's gospel had the doctrine of Holy Spirit conviction in it. Then we find also there was a doctrine of salvation in a supernatural person. The men of Nineveh and the people of Nineveh, they had to believe Jonah. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah was a Jew, resurrected from the grave, so to speak, when he came out of the fish's belly. And we find he was sent by God to proclaim the message of God to them. If they neglected that message, turned their back upon Jonah, they would have utterly perished. The same thing is true today in a greater reality. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's eternal Son. He came and was born of a Jew. He was a Jew himself. And we find, listen, friend, he died on the cross, rose from the dead, is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high today, and rest assured of one thing, there is no salvation outside of Christ. And if you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him and trust Him for your salvation, rest assured of one thing, my friend, you'll never be saved. Last of all, Jonah's message of doctrine was this. There was the doctrine of God's eternal stamp of approval upon Jonah's gospel. Luke chapter 11, and we find in verse 29 through 32, the Lord God of heaven tells us this very clearly. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Listen, friend, there is no other gospel than the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same gospel that Jonah preached, and I urge you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you better listen carefully and then seek for the Lord God of heaven to come into your heart and save you before it's too late. God's eternal stamp of approval is set forth upon Jonah's gospel. God's eternal stamp of approval is set forth upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, when the judgment of God falls upon you, rest assured of one thing, it will be too late. Your only hope is to repent and sue for mercy and cry unto the Lord Jesus to save you before it's too late. All my hope and prayer is that He will do so even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.